All right, let's see. Amen. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you. Lord, we're in these end times now, and there's a lot of things to pray for. And I ask, Lord, that you put it in our heart that the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into the things to pray for tonight, because it seems like there's a lot going on. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us, lead us, and guide us. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins and making us walk this, helping us to walk this righteous walk. And Lord, thank you for it in Jesus' name. All that you're going to do tonight on this outreach. And we praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request right now? Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
This is, well, Karen mentioned to me that they have a kid at her daycare, and that kid is very sick. His name is Eli. I'd show y'all a picture, but I don't like to, I don't want to share pictures of babies on. I'm just respecting the parents mostly. And Eli, if I remember correctly, he can't gain weight properly. And so they have something hooked up to his nose and whatnot so that they can help him gain weight, which doesn't make sense to me, but I'm sure the doctors are doing what doctors do. And I just want to pray for Eli. Lord Father God, I pray for little baby Eli. He's a cute kid. He's got a lot of life in him. From what Karen tells me, he's a sweetheart and he's having a hard time with the tube in his nose. Lord Father God, I just pray that this boy is healed in Jesus' name. Lord Father God, he's an innocent child and I rebuke all the demons that are within his body. I rebuke it out of him now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Father God, I command his body to gain weight, that when he eats food, he gets all the nutrients that he needs, and that any sort of pharmakia that's happening to him, Father, that it all just drains away, Father, and that he no longer needs to be on any sort of medication, and that any sort of curse that's put upon him by any doctor or any kind of person like that, Father, even the words that are spoken by his parents, Lord Father God, I rebuke this curse out of him now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for doing this for Eli, for this innocent boy. We thank you, Father, for being so merciful. We thank you, Father, for having this be glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for making his bones make great blood cells that would kick out all of these immune these bad cells that are affecting his body. And we thank you for it, Father, that he has a he's going to start gaining weight and he's going to be a fine young man here shortly. Lord, we thank you for bringing him into the kingdom too, if he's not, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that everything in his body is working like it's supposed to from this point on, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that I believe with Ben that Eli is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. He took it on his back so that Eli doesn't have to fool with it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Yep, I believe it, Ben. I believe it. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? What was that I saw a while ago?
Text from Angelica to pray for Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki. Pray that the Lord saves Nikki. She is or was a part of Hollywood Satanism, and they kind of pushed her out. And she's standing up for Christian persecution, but she's not a Christian. But Lord, we thank you that for help me, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving her repentance. poured out your grace and your mercy upon Nikki. And I thank you, Father. And I ask and I pray that the spirit oh gosh, Lord, help me here. Devil, I command you to get your hand off my memory right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Nikki Haley is complete, is going to be, she's already in the kingdom. I thank you for that, Father. I praise you and I glorify you that you have granted repentance to her, brought her into the kingdom in a mighty way. And I praise you and thank you that there are people right now speaking to her about the Lord, and also that she is receiving and that she'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost when she gets saved. When she's baptized in the water, that she, when she comes up, she'll be filled with the Holy Spirit with every gift active in her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving her bold faith to speak out for the Christians in Nigeria in Jesus' name. I don't even know who she is, but I guess that the people who follow that stuff is probably does. I've heard the name, I guess. Lord, I thank you for all over this country right now and Canada, Lord, that every chemtrail that has been spewed out is neutralized in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that everything that they thought to destroy, it'll help in Jesus' name. And we just completely invert it to make it something that is great and wonderful. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your angels are out there right now doing that, whatever it takes to make things right with this world. And I praise you for it, Father. And Lord, I thank you that every airplane that's got up today to put out chemtrail has been boneyarded after they got back down, that they'll never be able to use that plane again in Jesus' name. And I know that already there are plenty of acres and acres of these planes that have been pulled down and they can't use them anymore. Yeah, that'd be good too. If you turn it into water vapor, you wouldn't have to worry about parking them. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you for scooping up every Muslim in this country and sending them back to where they came from. I thank you, Father, for using the mosques that they have built to be something used for your glory, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you have already shut down these courts that are using Sharia law in their areas. I know of two courts that are doing that and they're already using Sharia law, which is absolutely against our Constitution here in this United States. You can't have two different laws in this country. And Father, I thank you for bringing it down, taking our money away, whatever it is that you have to do to shut those courts down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for getting all the radical Muslims out of here, getting all the radical Muslims and anyone that wants to promote that Muslim lifestyle of perversion, murder, all that stuff, Lord, that they're into a lot of Satanist stuff. And Lord, I thank you for destroying that religion, if you want to call it that, in Jesus' name. I was reading about a 6-year-old girl that didn't want to go and get married to a 60-year-old man. That is satanic. And I thank you, Lord, for stopping that and putting that man somewhere where he can't hurt anybody. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Father, I just any Muslims, Lord, that are you've known from the foundation of the world, Lord, your elect, Lord, that you would grant them repentance, Lord, and mercy and grace, Lord, that they would get to stay if they're here legally. And but Lord, if they have to be sent back, then ask you for their protection where they are, and use them to mightily evangelize the other Muslims, and send your angels round about them, Lord, in Jesus' name, no matter where they are, that they evangelize and use them to bring many into your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen.
What are you trying to I was reading this morning where they got more than 40 mosques already in Texas. In Texas. I don't know what they're thinking about down there. Greg Abbott needs to stop that. That's where they got the two courts, too. Sharia law courts. Yeah, I'm missing.
Well, there were my thought is when I heard that too, I was like, what the world? You know, my thought is maybe it's because they were coming, because so many come over the southern border there, that they just really have major invasion, you know, in Texas. I don't know.
That shouldn't make a bit of difference in the world for them to shut down those courts. Those courts
Right.
are
I agree.
unconstitutional.
I agree, but that the
They
fact
shouldn't
that
ever let them get up there. Go ahead.
yeah, it's like, how did that happen?
Nobody spoke up. We're going to see a change because we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You're going to see Muslims disappear. Hey, Matthew. Cheryl, Barbara, Patrick. All right, anyone else? Got anything you want to pray about? I want to pray for my truck. I took it by old Raleigh's. I got this check engine light on. I took it by there and they told me what was wrong with it. So I just rebuke the diagnostic to it. And I thank you, Father, that you've already fixed the problem with the brakes and the thermostat. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that both those sensors on both the right and the left wheel is working in the front. In Jesus' name, that they are getting the signal that they're supposed to get. And I ain't got to go down and under there and pull all that garbage out and do it again. In Jesus' name, because your angels have already fixed it. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for putting that mechanic angel out there to fix that for me tonight. And I praise you that those lights will be off by tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Missy.
I just wanted to say, we got a lot of leaves to do, and I don't think we're going to get them all done tomorrow because we haven't done them in a while and we got dumped on. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that when we go to use that blower, it's going to start up and it's not going to shut off. It's not going to overheat. We're going to have the use of it the whole time. It is permanently fixed by my angel, Muriel, and it will not ever do that again. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
What was it that messed up?
Leaf blower.
Oh, leaf blower.
Our leaf blower.
That's an excuse we men use not to have to get out there in the daytime. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I'd like to thank the Lord. My daughter phoned me this morning, and she came over for today for a few hours, and we had some nice family meeting. And of course, it's nice to see the grandson again, just to play a bit and stuff. And Ben, you're not getting any Rice Krispie squares because they're all gone. So thank you, Lord. And with my Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
How old is he now, Andrew?
He's 9 months, so he's crawling now. So he can, like, we tried to block the pillows so he wouldn't go touch the plants, but he went right over the pillows. And so he's, you take him around, you show him all the pictures on the wall. Now this is a picture, and you even show him the thermostat that doesn't work. So he's crawling, crawled off the carpet, and went all the way into the kitchen. Even that's pretty neat. When you see that, and he can stand up too, by the chair, hang on, pretty soon they're going to be athletes over there. She still needs to hear the Lord's word, though, and so does her husband Zachary. Praise God for that. The Lord has his time for that. Amen.
Thank you, Laura. How many of you are going to celebrate Thanksgiving? You going to make a pecan pie? I'll be there.
We don't get a Thanksgiving in Canada. It was done in October.
Well, that's why you need to move down here for Thanksgiving. You'll get it. You'll be eating some good food come Thursday.
That's this is why Americans and Canadians get married, because in July they get two fireworks festivals, they get two Thanksgivings, one in October and one in November.
November.
Yeah, and I might even actually get to babysit my grandson, because she's going for a dental appointment close by, because she might drop him off. So we'll see how that works out.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I pray, Lord, that you bless Andrew and his time keeping his grandson, and that he doesn't have a BM in his diaper, so he doesn't have to change it.
Oh boy. Amen. Lord, we thank you for giving Andrew all the experience he needs. That's one I never did like. I always put them girls up in the bathtub and hose them off. Yeah, Missy.
That sounds like my boy's dad. When we used to live beside my in-laws when the boys were little, and Kurt, he had a blowout. He didn't know what to do with him. He stuck him in the tub and called his mom next door. I'm like, oh gosh.
I had my great grandson had a blowout on a slide at the park. Well, I had him and his brother out there. He slid all the way down the slide. It was not a good day. I told him, I said, "You get yourself back to the house now." I said, "I ain't going to change you. Get on back to the house." And I had to follow him. He's about 2 blocks away from the house. I said, "Nate," it was Nate, Nathaniel. I said, "Nate, get on back to the house." "I can't walk." I said, "Yeah, you can. Get on back to the house. You're going to have to, because Papa ain't going to carry you. That just ain't going to happen, buddy." I got him back in the house, and my daughter said, "Why didn't you wipe him out?" I said, "With what? My shirt? Ain't gonna happen to this boy." He was nasty, boy. He was really nasty. That was Nate, though. That's the way he always operated. He just grinned. When he's coming down the slide, I saw him grinning. I said, "You did that on purpose." He wasn't but about three or four. Oh, my. All right. Grandkids are wonderful because you can always make them go home and get changed. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you for all my grandchildren, great grandchildren, my daughters too. I'll be able to see them, most of them, this next week. I'll be up there in Arkansas, hopefully. 10 days of darkness don't start before then. All right, has anybody else got something they want to pray about? Cheryl, how you doing down there?
I'm blessed. Yeah, just the Lord's taking me through some things, and I'm just waiting for a good testimony. Well, it's going to be, just waiting for it to manifest.
Already manifested. Start confessing that.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, do you have any Muslim mosques around you down there?
Towards Houston.
Towards Houston? Yeah, I knew they had some in Houston. I knew they had some at Austin. And also, what's the other one down there?
Dallas.
Well, I know Dallas does, but that's a little bit north there. But
Right.
there's another one down there.
San Antonio?
No, well, they probably
Nope.
do at San Antonio, but that's no. It's a smaller town. I'll think of it in a minute. Lord, we
Austin.
thank you for closing them off. I said Austin. I knew they had some here at Austin. What's his name? Everybody has been talking about him. InfoWar guy, Alex Jones. Anybody else want to pray? Then I'm gonna share a song. Y'all want to hear a good song? Okay.
The gates and doors were barred. And all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle. And a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night and none of us knows where. Oh, the stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. So we both ran to the garden. Then John ran on ahead. And we found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I'd seen them crucify him. And then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. So even if he was alive, it could never be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Then Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Oh, but then he raised me to my feet. And as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Oh, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Amen. He said, do you believe that? I do. Thank you, Lord. Let me close it down. That's probably one of the most powerful songs on the internet right now, in my opinion. Anybody else like it? Amen. If you don't like it, you need to get saved. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Ben.
I just got a quick question for you, Michael. Did you get my email yesterday?
I don't know.
I sent you an email at your michael@ubm.org, I believe.
I didn't see it. I checked it this morning.
All right. I'll resend it.
Oh, wait a minute. There it is.
Oh, there we go.
Go ahead. If you want to go ahead and share it, that'd be great.
Oh, just wondering, because Karen got a dream and kind of mentioned to her that you guys have helped me out with my dreams in the past and asked if she wanted a little bit more clarity on it. I'm already seeing stuff and I've mentioned stuff to her, but I'm wondering if there's anything that you two, or if you can share it with someone else if you feel more comfortable. And I CC'd her on it so you can reply to her. She's
Okay.
interested in what you guys have to say.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look at it. Did you want to share it here, or do you just want David to look at it?
Yeah, I'll just have you two looking at it. I think
Okay.
it's her dream, it's her testimony, so I'll let her
Sure.
share it if she
Yeah,
wants to.
that'd be fine. Yeah, I see it now. Yep. Okay.
I have a question. It's nothing crazy, and I think I kind of already have an answer, but I would
Praise
like
God.
it's not necessarily a question. I'm just mostly seeing what you guys think. So I was reading through all the different sort of gospels when Jesus was arrested, and Mark has a peculiar thing happen in one of his. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 51, and a certain young man followed with him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body. And they lay hold on him, but he left the linen cloth and fled naked. So what do y'all think about that? What do you think that's supposed to, what's that supposed to do with anything?
All right. Anybody want to hazard would like to speak on that? It's a Mark 14:51, and a certain young man followed with him, having a linen cloth cast about him, having a linen cloth cast about him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body, and they lay hold on him. But he left the linen cloth and fled naked. Yeah, Missy. Well, you had your hand up. Oh, okay. Anybody see anything in that? We'll look at it. There's a lot there, actually, if you go on back up.
She had that dream before the election.
Oh, she did.
She did, yeah.
Anybody want to hazard a guess or would like to
Well,
expand on it?
I brought it up. I was thinking about it. And I know that someone that is naked, it's sort of a shameful thing. And when Adam recognized that he was naked, he realized his sin. So I'm kind of running along the lines of that. Obviously, a linen cloth, he's being clothed with something, like how we need to be clothed with Christ. So maybe I was sort of walking along the lines of that old linen cloth that he had on sort of got shedded off, and now he's exposed to his sin, and now he's fleeing. So I think it's supposed to represent our old man being exposed, saying, "Oh, full of sin I am. Where am I? What am I to do?" Because that's who we were before Christ went to the cross. And at that point, he hasn't gone to his cross yet. So he's supposed to represent an old carnal man that has no real way of washing away his sin. And, the old works of the law have no real way of covering that shame or that sin that he has. And so, I don't know, I was thinking along the lines of that. And then obviously when Christ goes to the cross, that's our covering and our cleansing. And I don't know, that's the line that I was thinking. Maybe I don't have the full revelation yet, but that's kind of what I was thinking. Maybe someone else can add on to that now that I've got the ball rolling.
There was another young man in the Bible that fled, that had his linen cloth pulled off of him. Y'all remember who that was? Yeah, Julie.
That was Joseph when
Yeah.
he was Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him.
He was fleeing that sin, wasn't he? Kind of about the same way. He left the linen cloth and fled naked. Anybody want to? We can take a look at it and see what we can get out of it, then come back. All right. Anybody got anything they want to share here? Julie, you want to share what you came through today at Philippians?
Oh, I can. I just thought maybe you wanted to get more interaction with Ben's question. I was reading some of the commentary on that.
Okay.
I guess a lot of the commentary think it may have been one of the disciples, or James, the brother of our Lord, or that's kind of the general consensus. They really don't know. I think it's a spiritual thing that the Lord has to deliver, reveal to us, don't you?
I think you misunderstood me. I was talking about the verse that you got this afternoon.
Oh, I heard you. I just thought maybe that there was going to be more interaction on
Oh,
Ben's
okay.
question.
All
Ben's
right.
question. Sorry, I can share that though. I just didn't want to cut Ben off if anyone else wanted to share, like Joe or
I'm trying to
Matthew
find
or
it.
Andrew or Matt.
I'm trying to find it.
What, my verse I give you?
Yeah.
Oh, that was
4:15.
Philippians 4 and 5, I believe.
4 and 5. Oh,
Yeah,
I'm in
four
the
and five.
wrong one. No wonder.
You were close.
Yeah. Philippians 4 and 5. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There it is. She's got it up there in the chat. What do y'all think they're referring to? Let me see if I can get Esau going here. What does forbearance mean? Patience, doesn't it? Doesn't it mean patience? Yeah, Andrew.
Could it mean gentleness too?
Yep. Gentleness, rest. I think just mine, just looking at it, not too long, but anyway, just looking at it. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I think what he's telling us is to be at rest in everything that we do, and the people would see the Lord upon you. The Lord is at hand. He's with you. When you don't have it, you have patience, you have all of these good qualities that we learned about earlier. Anybody got something else? If this, she said, what does the verse mean? R.E. the Lord, regarding the Lord.
I was also thinking in context to starting like with well, he starts in verse 1, but you can read on about that, about the Euodia and Syntyche and Clement, what all those names mean. If you remember what David's teaching was on those people, what their names meant, and what the Lord was saying there about having the same mind. I just wonder, because he went right in from that, verse 3, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, because of what those verses beforehand, what he was indicating, and let your forbearance, which is your patience, your long suffering, with others, because of supposed to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to teach, though. I don't want to just go into what those names mean and
Yeah.
what I was exhorting to, what I was getting at. But it's just like, how does the Lord being at hand, what is he meaning by that in that sentence? Like, let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand when he's telling us to rejoice, and he's saying that we should be helping these women, right? Fellow workers and our brothers and sisters. Anyhow, your thoughts, you biblical scholars, you.
Yeah, that looks like an encouragement. Yeah, Missy.
My thought is the Lord is right there. He's near, and he's ready to give a helping hand.
Amen. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, in the chapter previous, Paul was talking about how he's always straining forward thinking unto the upward calling of Christ Jesus. And whatever that calling is, we understand that that's supposed to be a moment of when God's going to be working in you and sort of what he's morphing you or transforming you into. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. We look forward to the Lord coming. The Lord is at hand. He's here. You gotta be that manifestation of Christ to those in the world. The Lord is at hand because we see forward thinking, but we claim it now by faith, but then manifestly, he's here now. It sounds a lot better in my head. I'm not speaking it correctly here.
Oh.
I think I know. It's definitely an encouragement of saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His son is still on this world. His son was a gift to this world, and the spirit of his son is in us. So would that not mean with his spirit within us, that we are supposed to be still that gift to the world. The Lord is at hand. He's right here. He's all around here. That's how I see it.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe. Where'd he go?
I would say it's doesn't matter the circumstance that you are in. Lord is at hand. I would say that if the Lord is always speaking as God, as an oracle. We know always the Lord is at hand because he's in you. So I have to speak always as an oracle.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I mean, I can. Do y'all mind if I read the whole thing right there, right quick? You do? Okay. Wherefore, my brethren, beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche, whatever, to be of the same mind in the Lord. To be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I beseech thee also, true yoke fellow. What's a yoke fellow? Does anybody know what a yoke fellow is? That's somebody that you're attached to, right? Help these women, for they labor with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. These are all Christians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your patience, let your rest, let your all of those be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In other words, in my opinion, I think he's talking about the character of Jesus. Peace, love, joy, all of those things. And nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, saw in me, saw in me. These things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Did anybody get anything out of that? He wants us to walk like Jesus, don't he? Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. How many of you look like Jesus? Amen. We all look like Jesus, don't we? Amen, Joe. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
So I just got a question. I must not have heard the meanings of the names. What is it? Euro, Euro, I don't know how you even say that. Yodaya and Syntyche. Do those names mean something?
They probably do. I don't know what they are. Euodia.
Euodia.
Yeah. Euly.
Okay. Joe's got
Euodia.
his hand up.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
Yodia, the first one is to be successful in reaching a goal.
To
So
be
to say,
successful.
in
Okay.
reaching a goal, and Synthesei is to meet with an accident. So that's two circumstances, but it doesn't matter, you've got good and evil, well, good and bad.
Tell me what he said, Julie.
Yodia means to be successful. What was the rest of that, Joe? To be successful
In reaching a goal.
in reaching the goal. And
Yeah.
syntaxe means to meet with an accident. So when you use those words, meanings in that sentence.
Okay.
And
I
Clement has a meaning
absorb
too, right, Joe?
successfully.
Yeah, I'll look at it now.
The name Clement, that has a meaning too.
What does Clement mean? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I got my note here as kind and merciful is Clement. Sometimes Paul used that in the book of Acts when he wanted their clemency when he was defending himself. And Iodia and Synthesei, I have that spelled phonetically in my Bible here. Also means a fragrance and fortunate. A fragrance to fortunate and fortunate. So, fragrance with success and fortunate in an accident. So, because the accident has to be fixed. That's from an old teaching. Next time I'll have to put the year. I should have put the year when that was given out because, yeah. And of course, he's exhorting them, so he's warning them. So you've got to put that there too. What's he doing with Clement, though? Yeah, he's Clement was there for him when he was struggling. So even the apostles struggled. But sometimes they had despair until Titus showed up. So the struggle with you tend to read it and it looks like it's happening right away, but it could have been a few. We don't know how the time period was for that to happen, or how long Paul was alone in Athens, you know, because he was there alone. Usually he always buddied up with someone, and but he was alone there for a while, and he used the god, the unknown god, because they had no statue there for him, and so he used that to help him. He had a few people hear him in Athens, I believe it was.
Anybody else? All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? like he's exhorting us to be like Jesus, right? Lord, I'm just going to pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask that you pick us all up. The times that we may have fallen in our desire for you, Lord, and set us back on that road. And Lord, show us these revelations about you. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, that there's no sin that we can't be, that your grace and your mercy would grant us repentance from, Lord. And I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Make us look like you, Lord. Help us to look like you. Help us to talk like you. Help us to confess every day that we're new creations in you. Help us to confess every day that we have the power of the universe living in us, called the Holy Spirit. And Father, I praise you and thank you that the Holy Spirit will keep us on that right road of sanctification. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Josie. All right, anyone else? When Paul talks about a new creation in us, what's he talking about? I'm just going to start something here. Well, Julie, go ahead.
The new life we have in Christ Jesus.
What does that entail? I'm not just asking you, Julie. I'm asking the whole group here. What does it entail to be a new creation? Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I guess I'm thinking, this is just something I've been meditating on a lot lately, is how we're supposed to forget the things that lie behind. I was in Philippians here recently, so I was in, you know, the whole book. But, you know, Paul exhorting us to, you know, forget the things that lie behind. And press on, you know, stretch forward to that high calling of God in Christ Jesus and run our race, right? So I think we're supposed to be thinking, you know, have our minds stayed on the things of the Lord, the heavenly things, where our real home is. We're new in Christ, we're new creation, and just seek the kingdom of God and all that that means, you know. But that's our real home, and we're just passing through. I want to know more about what who I am in Christ, and what my real home is, and what's what the kingdom of God is all about. So it's forgetting those things of the past, and so it's just it's focusing more on and Michael, you read it too, Philippians 4, about think on these things. You know, finally, whatsoever is true and things are honorable and are just, and, you know, because we have the mind of Christ, we don't have the old earthly nature anymore. We've been given the nature of Christ, you know, his divine nature is who we are now. So and that's kind of what I was thinking, Michael.
Okay. All right, Missy.
Similar to what Julie was saying, you know, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've been crucified with Christ and I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. That's the new creation. Christ living in me is the new creation. with, you know, the Lord gave us beauty for ashes. I think of that song, a song I like to sing. You know, the old man has passed away. old wood, hay, and stubble. We don't live, I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. That I'm dead unto sin and alive unto God, which to me means the old man is dead and Jesus lives, not me. That's the new creation. Jesus. Jesus is that new creation in me. He's made me a new creation. He didn't reform my old man. The old man died. Period. And I'm completely new in him.
Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
The other thing I was thinking on lately a lot too is Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life. And that resurrection life is in us. So that's what makes us new too, is you know, we have his resurrection life, his new life, born again life. His power is in us, his everything that's in the seed of the fruit is in us, and it becomes a full-grown fruit. So, anyhow, another thing I was thinking of, you know, that spirit, that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is in us and gives life to our mortal flesh, and that life is Zoe life. You know, that is the new creation, and that's who we are in Christ. That's how we're supposed to see ourselves. We're not so supposed to see our old nature and our mistakes and our failures anymore. And that this scripture was coming to my mind is from just this part of it. It's like, behold, I make all things new. You know, we are new. You know, he gives us new life. That's from Revelation 21.
Amen.
Just that portion of it. Amen.
Anyone else? You know, one of the things that I'm looking at here is what is our job as that new creation? And I always goes back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. We're supposed to bring heaven to earth as a new creation in Christ. That's the ultimate job that God has for us. What do you think about that? I'm just throwing things out there. So if we are to bring heaven to earth, what does that job entail? Let's think about it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, Jesus was the bread of life that came out of heaven to give life to the world. So to me, that means, oh gosh, I lost my thought there a second. bringing, you know, walking as Jesus walked, as he is in this world, even so are we. So to me, that's bringing heaven to earth, in one sense, Jesus never, my way of thinking, I never even really thought about it till just now. It just popped into my head. Even though he ascended to the Father, well, he did come back as the life-giving spirit, you know, in us first Adam became a living soul, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit on the day of at Pentecost, gave life to the world. Came back after he ascended to the Father, in a sense, is what I'm thinking. So, but just to walk as Jesus walked, because he came down out of heaven to give life to the world, and he's in us now. And that's like you said, we're to bring heaven to earth, do the things that he did, heal the sick, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. That's what
Amen.
I'm thinking.
Ain't no sickness in heaven.
That's right.
Ain't
No curse. Woo-hoo.
no curse at all. And we're supposed to bring it down here. Amen. Go ahead, Debbie. How you doing, girl? I didn't see you sneak in here.
Yeah, like to sneak in.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Colossians 3, where as far as what does it entail? What did you say before that bring heaven to earth? What does it entail?
Yeah, that's Mark,
So
Matthew 6:9.
he's given us his nature, but yet we're still here. And Colossians 3:10 says, and we well, for 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, was being renewed
Fidelity.
to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created us. So we're being renewed. It's something we have to do. We have to put off. What it entails is us putting off the old man, putting off lying, slander, cheating, all these things, coveting, and we have to put these things off. That's really what it is entails, though we know that he's given us, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, but we have to make that be real and seen, in our lives here by what we have to do to come into what he's given us. In other words,
Amen.
we have a job to do that's it entails us dying to self and to all these things. So,
Dying to self and trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. All right, Andrew. Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, in the same chapter, Debbie was giving us set your mind on things above and not on things upon the earth. And I
Amen.
always like the next verse because it's kind of your cross and it's kind of the new Emmanuel, because mentioned Emmanuel in the beginnings of the Gospels, but there it says, "For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Reminds me of that verse where he says, "If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him." We will come and make our abode with him. Jesus does go to prepare a place for us, and he was going to the cross, but now through this love, he's going to make an abode for us to abide in with the Father and the Son, because it's for you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And there's a lot of in God verses, and Peter had a nice way of saying it in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, which is a thing you walk in knowledge, it's built up. If you're walking in knowledge, it has to be love, not puffed up, but built up. Knowledge and can be attained in both ways. So, life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted us precious and exceeding great promises, that through these he might be partakers of the divine nature. And of course, he gives you the divine power so that you can have that life and godliness. And through the promise, you get the partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And of course, you can see your cross in that. You can see the cross in everything that people have mentioned here, that you have a cross to lose your life, to gain your life. And you're losing your old man to live the new man's life. Some examples of this is when someone starts railing on you and calling you all kind of real bad things and getting even into your looks and stuff. And you keep your composure. You don't say anything. You even say, well, I'm sorry, you know. And you've survived something there. Someone was used as someone taught me here on the site. This person was used to kill, to be a flesh killer for you. They're killing your flesh, or she's killing your flesh now. And it's getting you closer to that humbleness, the meekness. You know, Jesus has a way of doing this to put the yoke on us. We're yoke fellows with Jesus, so that yoke is on us, so that we can be meek and lowly. And, you know, it's also a blessing to be that way. A spiritual blessing through the Holy Spirit is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. And I like to think that that land is the land in the parable of the sower. The fourth land where you bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And it's comparable to the sun, the star, moon, and sun glory. But you see, it also says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians that there is bigger stars and smaller stars too. So you gotta understand that some of the bigger stars might have somewhat more fruit and glory, but if you look at the parable of the talents, the guy who had five produced another six because he got the other guys, and he produced 100%, and the guy who had two produced another two and produced 100%, and that's how as far as these people go. So they're equal, you know. We don't see the 11 guy as being more superior than the other, because it's one body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling. And of course, the hope is a firm and sure expectation, as it says in Hebrews chapter 6. And of course, all of these things accumulate into what Jesus is. But let's remember, we were raised with him. The Our Father prayer puts us in a place where we might not always think that we're there, but we were raised with him. You know, Paul taught this to the Ephesians, that we were raised with him and made, which is a creative word, made to be seated with him in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. And you know, wherever you see this word in the New Testament, it's a real important word. It's only two letters. But you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And according to his plan from the ages, which God made in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the next verse goes, in whom we have boldness and confidence and access. Access is progressively as a baby to a full-grown man or woman. Access and confidence. Sometimes you can lose some confidence because someone might rail on you, okay? But you have to gain it back, because the last in there in the Ephesians 3, 11, and 12 is through Christ's faith. It says his faith, but that's the faith we attain, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. And if it's in the Word of God, it can't be broken. And we get this by God's grace. So we must be developed by God. It's like the snapshot's already done. Now he's got to take you to the developer, and you're developed as that Christ. But now he has to harden you. It's the fixer, or the stop bath in there, is he's hardening this film so it won't get dark again. He has to take all the impurities of the silver out so that you don't get affected by any other dangerous light that might be out there, so that you can have now a product you can look at in regular light, and you're a copy of what you, the image that was on the camera. You know, they have huge cameras, or used to have them in the printing industry, because you had to go negative and then to plate. So this image was transferred through light on the film. You develop it, you put it in the water, and then you put it in the stop bath, and you can see it washing away the silver from where the clear part's supposed to be in the fixer. Or it's also called a hardener for some reason in the printing industry. And so that's an analogy, I guess, on how this happens. And unless you get the hardening of this, it's like shot the light shining from your spirit and shining into your soul so you can bear fruit. Because it's also knowledge, because it's the seven lights of the candle. And the knowledge you walk in has to be implanted into your soul so that you do that. And it's just like if you run into something where you lose your cool or you lose your temper, then you have to go to the Lord to get that fixed. And he swaps it out. And he puts more of the new man in there. Or he forgives you. And of course, sometimes these things happen because nobody's confronting you. It's just a temptation. And you might flip out. And so, you know, that really isn't. The Lord knows that this flip out was done because of temptation, but then you still go to the Lord about that, because the test is hardening you against this tempter from returning to you on either the same thing over and over again, or something new, and that's just a vocalizing of what is Christ to me and many other things that he is, that we are being processed into. As a salvation is progressive, faith is progressive, grace is progressive. If grace is progressive, then all of the fruits are progressive, because you could be okay with something now that used to always be a problem with you in the past, but you still progress even more, and you run into these little things. The apostles did. They despaired at one point in time in the scriptures, and God was there. He was, you know, it reminds me of someone praying for a bag of chips. And the bag of chips were already on their way before the prayer even went out. And Paul prayed that they probably were in despair. And then God already had the plan to send Titus to get the despair away from them. Because they needed a go-between for the Macedonians, I think. And I think Titus was a Macedonian. So, and that's the way it works. And if you get a good draw on this humbling, then you will you'll be able to talk to kings and governors, just like Paul did. He was pretty nasty at the beginning of Acts 9, before his encounter with the Lord. And then because of his encounter with the Lord, it actually helped quite a few people in the house of the Lord in that city he went to, you know. By the 31st verse, they were going, wow, if the Lord can save a man like Paul who was gathering us up and doing slaughter and threatenings and stuff, and we thought he would never be able to have a chance, because this is sometimes the way they would think, and he was the next to be saved and the next to be promoted to apostle, and we are encouraged of the progress of these people, and we are also encouraged for our own progress. We don't envy other people in the body. We know where we're at, and our goal is Jesus, not to be like someone else, but Jesus, because that's the Father's plan, as it says in Ephesians 3:11 and 12. So it's a good plan. Father's plan always works. He called you, and he's going to finish that work in you. That's what has to, there's no other way it can go. You can get discouraged, but you need people sometimes. You know, you want to kidnap, what was his name? Barnabas, Paul's friend. You want to kidnap him and just keep him in a recording in your head constantly. And those are encouraging verses in Philippians when it says, whatever is to keep your mind on things that are lovely, that are true, of any good report, and all those other, I have trouble remembering all those. But you know, you can also go to keeping your mind on love, on joy, on peace, and the blessings too, you know, and the gifts, you know, and practice the gifts and pray in tongues, and then pray in your audible word of English, and these things is what you should do. You should read your Bible a lot, so that the Lord can take his word, his law, put it in your mind, and put it in your heart. When it's in there, it will recall, and it has to recall. You speak in tongues, and so you get a recall from God when you need it, because that's one of the verses there. He sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. He's going to teach you all things and remind you of what he taught you. So it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit that we partake of. And that's how we do the Our Father prayer. Through his name, through the grace of God, because we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace when we first got called and had our first love from the Lord. But we're also saved as we go on. We depend upon the Lord. He's sovereign over all things. And he did it. He did say, command ye me, you know. I wish you could do that with your real dad, because then you'd get a lot of ice cream cones when you were a kid. But, you know, you had to sort of nag them a bit. And I don't think God likes that, but... Oh, come on. I can still hear it, you know, and it kind of weighs on you, because you want to be a good example of as a father also. You know, there's so much to learn, you know, and the church is just not doing it. You have to take a person who just got saved, and you have to tell them how you would go about disciplining your children. And let's say you're walking in the room, Because you told him to go there and he knows what's coming next, or she does. And she's crying. Her tears are coming down. You got the belt or whatever in your hand. You throw it on the ground. Give it a test, you know. And call him over. Pick that belt up for me. She'll pick it up, or he will, and hand will be shaking. Put it in your hand. Tears coming down the eyes. You don't need to spank him that day. The contrite heart is already there. Then you just have to go and tell him to sit beside you and tell you why you spank him, because you love him. And these things have to be taught, because they have no idea. They didn't have parents like that. Parents didn't know. They just spank you, and that's it. You know, and that's what happens. And it doesn't work correctly when they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. There's so much that needs to be known, and so many corrections that have to be done because of all these sayings they have in the church, you know. Like the one they were just talking about, unconditional love, you know. And I use that term, but you know, it's wrong, you know. The way I was thinking about it was, yeah, you got to obey the Lord unconditionally. <You know? laughs> So, but when it's explained to some, you know, they might hear it differently, you know. So, you know, and of course, there's those sayings like, you know, the only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner. So just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. Well, that's not what happened. You're free from sin, you know. And they're so subtle, and they speak him off the cuff. You go, you might not remember or something, you know. But, you know, sometimes the Lord will do something as simple as you being asked, where were you baptized? And you would answer, in water. And then they would say, no. What denomination do you belong to? Then you hesitate again and you go, what's a denomination? And then, of course, they all frown, turn around, and go away. And that happened to me at a bus stop. And, of course, you know, it's quite interesting. We were studying those people that came out of Russia and they went through China, a book we studied here once, and there was something similar that happened there. Of course, you know, I'm glad they turned around and went away, because I had no verses to back it up, you know. But, you know, he showed me the verses later. So I had to go through that, of course, the one body, the one spirit, the one hope of your calling, the one faith. The one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism. Baptism is not a membership to a church, to a denomination or a sect. Baptism is a membership to being alive in Christ Jesus. And that's what they don't know in the church. And of course, they baptize babies in some of these denominations. And there's just so much they have to learn. Like, they don't want to take that next step. And coming from the background I came from is pretty rough. Pretty rough. Yeah, so you got to stick to the word, because for no word of God shall be void of power. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That even is if you're going to wait for something. God doesn't want you to be ashamed. So you see, there's two ways of looking at that one. He wants it to be successful in you, because it is the power of God unto salvation, and we're saved by grace. And of course, since his divine power hath given to us all things, from Peter, So you have it from Jesus, from Paul, and from Peter. And that's very important. And, yeah. Praise God. That's Jesus. And I'm sure if there's a proverb somewhere there where you can't get close enough. And that's what just happened. So I'm going to be quiet now. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, got a text from Benita over on Signal that says that they're going to keep Frank tonight at the hospital. Lord, I just lift up Frank to you, Father God, and I ask for your shield of protection around him, that the doctors would not do anything that would harm him. In Jesus' name, and I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him a good doctor, one that wants to see him well, and not just to make a buck off of him. And I praise you, and I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that Frank's going to come out of there in the morning, healed by the power and the blood of Jesus. And not only that, he's going to give the glory to you, Father, because the doctors couldn't do it. I praise you, Lord, that you've already healed Frank in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that for Frank? And Lord, not only that, he's coming into the kingdom in a mighty way. Praise God forevermore. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for healing Frank. And we just command whatever is causing the sodium levels in his body to be critically low, we just command that to leave his body in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that all his vital signs are going to come to normal in a matter of minutes. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to come out of this critical stage immediately in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Benita peace about everything as she drives back home, and that she's praying in the spirit, and you're speaking to her, and you're giving her words too for Frank. I thank you, Lord, that we're not under the curse. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over Frank, and that he is divinely protected by your holy angels and your word of truth and our prayers of faith for him, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the awesome testimony that's going to come forth for Frank, from Frank, Father, and saving him, Lord, for your kingdom. Glory to God.
Amen. Lord, while he's resting tonight, I ask that you give him a dream that would change his whole outlook upon who you are and what you're about, Lord. And I praise you and thank you for that, that he's going to come into the knowledge of the true gospel tonight, this night. We declare and decree it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Andrew, for what you were just talking about there. Some good stuff there. Anyone else got something they want to share? How many of you? Well, I'm not even going to ask that. No, I ain't going to ask that one. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you can. Julia got a song she's going to sing for us.
La, 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 la.
All right.
Well, I'll be singing, but I'll have my mic closed. Thank you, Michael.
Let me give you access here. All right, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanna walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I wanna see you, Jesus. Move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I wanna say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I wanna cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief, God. Jesus, I believe.
How many of you believe? I believe, I believe, I believe. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir, I do. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I got a book here in my hand by Herbert Lockyer. I don't know how you pronounce it. Locker. And it's called All the Promises of the Bible. That's as thick as the Bible. That's how many promises he's given us, I guess. I bought this some time ago, used, and it's extensive. How many of you know that there's a couple of promises in the Bible for all of us? Yeah, amen. And he tells about the principles of regarding prayer and what we should do. It's just a probably a good book. I hadn't had really had a chance to get into it yet. And but one reason is because it looks like about a size 8 font. So, but I can read it. Anybody ever seen that? All the Promises of the Bible. It's a unique compilation and exposition of divine promises in Scripture by Herbert Lockyer, Lockyer, I guess. You can find it in the used book thrift books or something like that. This was in real good shape. You can get a couple of bucks.
What time frame was he born in? I mean, it's, do you know?
He was born in the year 33 and he came out in 2025. I don't know.
I didn't know if it
Let me.
was like something out of the 1800s or
Oh,
1700s or something like that.
let me see here, Pat, just a moment. He wrote a bunch of them. He took from Dr. Clark's study, which was published more than 130 years ago. Some of it was. It's, that's what it says. But I don't know when he was. And he took it from a lot of other ones too. So he kind of used, he's researched it pretty good. The question may arise as to whether this book in your hands justifies its title of dealing with all the promises found in the Bible. It has been computed that there are 30,000 Bible promises. No indication is given as to how this colossal number is reached. Altogether, there are 31,173 verses making up the Bible. 23,214 verses comprising the Old Testament, and 7,959 the New Testament. Doubtless, this total of verses gave rise to the 30,000, every verse being a promise. In 1956, the magazine Time carried an item to the effect that school teacher Everett R. Storms of Kitchener, Canada. You know where that is, Andrew? Has he got a kitchen there? I'm just asking. I don't know. Kitchener, Canada reckoned the 30,000 figure to be off the mark during his 27th reading of the Bible. This devout student tried to tally up the promises, a task which took him a year and a half. Storms came up with 7,487 promises by God to man, two by God the Father to God the Son, 991 by one man to another, such as the servants who promised to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. 290 by man to God. 21 promises were made by angels, one by man to an angel, and two were made by an evil spirit to the Lord. Satan made nine as to when he promised the world to Christ if he would fall down and worship him. So Storms then gives us a grand total of 8,810 promises. I'm sure you'll want to look all those up tonight. There's a lot of promises, aren't there? Almost every one of them are a promise. I remember somebody talking about all the promises before, said if you just read the promises in the Word of God, it'll do wonders for your walk with Christ. I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't know why it wouldn't. Because then you know who you really are and what you're capable of doing. Yeah, Julie.
I like to think about, and like you're saying, the promises is, Amen, Joe. Our biggest promise is Jesus. I like thinking about how God made the covenant with us, and if He made the covenant, then He's the one that has to fulfill it, just like He did. You know, David taught about that with Abraham. You know that. Abraham was asleep. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything, you know, to make the covenant at all. He was at rest. He was asleep. So that's it, all the responsibility. As long as we're walking in faith and believing and confessing the truth and abiding in Christ and all that, God does everything. You know, that's kind of the neat thing. It's His covenant, and He pays His vows. You know, He makes it happen, and our part is faith. And believing and trusting and obedience, right? Our part is to obey God, and that's, you know, losing our life and loving and keep seeking Him and all that, you know. Anyhow, he's the one that gives us the grace even to do all that. We can't even take credit for that we're doing anything. So anyhow, that's kind of a when I think about that, the Lord reminded me of that. That it's just like, you know, I'm the one that made the covenant with you. You know, I'm the one that keeps the part of manifesting everything and perfecting you and bringing things to pass. My part is to believe Him and exercise faith, confess Him, you know, and just keep doing what I know to do is the right thing and obeying Him when I don't. Yes, but still learning to understand all what grace is, right? And not our own works. So, anyhow, that helps me.
Amen. I don't have to look at that more. That looked pretty interesting. Okay, Debbie.
Oh, I just wanted to ask, you said you got that online, that book?
Yeah, I got it offline. It was at Abe or Thrift Books, one of those used books
What was it
stores.
called?
All the Promises of the Bible.
I mean, what bookstore online?
There's a number of used books stores. There's one called Abe, ABE. Another one is Thrift Books. There's a number of them. Just type in Google used Christian books. And this book is called All the Promises of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. Lockyer.
You.
Not luckier, it's Lockyer. It says a unique compilation and exposition of divine promises in Scripture. And it looks pretty interesting. I've had it for a number of years. I just haven't taken it down to take the time to look at it. It's probably King James, but that's okay. Just to give you some of the chapters, let's see, it's got 300 and something pages in it. 350 pages. It says the substance of the promise, number one, the simplicity of the promises, the stipulation of the promises, the surety of the promises, the source of the promises, the security of the promises, the scope of the promises, and that has a bunch of subtitles to it. Promises of the Jewish world, the promises of the Gentile world, the promises of the natural world, promises of and the Christian world, promises relative to Christ, relative to Christian scripture, relative to the Christian church, relative to Christian doctrine, relative to the Christian promises and the temporal realm, temporary realm, and promises to the physical realm, promises relative to the marital realm, promises to the spiritual realm, to the eternal realm, to Christian literature. So it's pretty extensive. 350 pages of 8 font, that's a lot of words. I think I'll delve into this a little bit. Anybody else? What's the main promise that you like? Anybody got a certain promise that they like more than the rest of them? Yeah, Julie, I know what you're going to say.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Could be any one of those promises, Michael. The one that just came to me immediately, I guess, because I just read it recently, was focusing and meditating on it. And is Philippians 4:19. You all know
yep,
what that
I
is,
like
right?
That one. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
4:19.
That's kind of an all-encompassing
Amen. Well,
prayer.
It's your need, right? And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's a good one to like. All right. Debbie, you had your hand up a while ago. Was it just about the book itself?
Yeah, that was it.
Where to get it? Okay. All right. Anyone else got a favorite promise? Yeah, Pat.
If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32.
Amen. That's a good one. How many likes to be made free? Whoo, glory to God. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was just reading in this today and thinking about this one. And I think about it a lot. I confess it a lot. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, and chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. You chose us. We didn't choose you. Oh, we have nothing to boast about, Lord. It's all your grace. You gave us born again spirit and then said, follow me.
Amen. That's a good one too. Good general, all-encompassing promise. Okay. Ben, what's your?
Julie took mine.
Julie, what'd you do that for?
You can take that one too, Ben.
Amen. All right. How about you, Debbie?
And Missy took mine, so.
Oh, these thieving women. That's okay. They're good, all-encompassing promises. Yeah, Debbie, do you have one?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many, you know.
Yeah.
But I really like, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Kind of like, sort of, it's like with Judy's. Can't think of the reference right now. I'm just trying to look it up, actually, when you asked me that. Yeah. Did you understand what I say, or did I say it too fast?
Yeah, it was for me. I didn't catch much of that one.
He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Oh,
according
yeah.
To his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, I like that. That one's a good one, too. Missy, did you have your hand up? What does that mean? Quit pointing your finger. That's not nice.
Joe. Joe
Go
has
ahead.
his hand up.
I see. I see him. I was just messing with. You're gonna have to give me time to mess with Missy. That's part of the deal here. Go ahead, Joe.
Mine must be Mark 11:24. Whenever I say to you all things, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Amen. That's a good one. Yeah, Missy.
I'm going to speak for David. David's favorite is, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit.
What's the address?
2 Corinthians 3:18.
Amen. Got it right on the get-go. Okay, that is a good one. That's his favorite, one of his favorite. All right. Who's next, Barbara?
Mine are all the above. Seriously, mine are all the above.
Okay. All right. That's
I'll add one though. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in me shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
a
I
good
believe
one.
that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That's a good one, Barbara. Thank you. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to something earlier. I'm sorry.
That's
I wanted
okay.
to share this earlier, but I was trying to click on the chat and to react, but I kept hitting chat. And then Julie got onto it. She was wanting to talk. She was waiting to see if anyone else wanted to talk about this Mark thing, the guy who, lost his linen, ran naked. And I heard David say one time that that was Mark. He thought that was Mark. The disciple Mark, in the book of Mark, that was
The
Mark.
witness who he was
Pardon?
witnessing, he was because he was witnessing what happened
Yeah.
in Gethsemane. He was there.
I thought I remember David saying one time that he thought or that it was Mark. I mentioned Mark. I
Okay.
meant to try to get that in there. And
Yeah.
when someone just now mentioned the book of Mark, it reminded me, so I thought throw it in there.
Thank you, Lord, for remembering, helping us to remember these things in Jesus' name. All right, Judy.
I have another one.
Okay.
Well, it's mentioned in John. It's mentioned like five times, four times. But anyhow, I'll just read one of them. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, and that your joy may be made full. And that's a promise. And that's in John 15:11, John 16:24, and he also mentions it about his joy being made full in us in John 17:13.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What about you, Cheryl?
As Debbie, I mean, yeah, Debbie took mine. Ephesians 3:20 was now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
Isn't that the one
That's a
that
good
you?
one. Did she get cut off? No. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
I like all those he who overcometh verses that are in Revelations. He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments. And I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my father in his throne.
Amen. That's a good one. Well, we're out of time. I'll just give you mine. It's Deuteronomy 28:1-2. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Then it goes on from there. It gets better. Praise God. All right, folks, we're out of time. Has anybody got any closing thoughts? Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, you hear? Yeah?